Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
And now we move to the Lord. We move to a time of prayer this morning. Would you bow your heads with us?
Good morning, Lord. We are so glad you're here in this house today, because you're the one we've come to worship, and your presence is evident. We felt it this morning. Thank you for the worship service that we've had thus far. Lord, I just ask you to take every heart in here this morning. Empty it. Lord, take out the hurt, the resentment, the pain, the suspicion, and fill each heart with Jesus. Nothing but Jesus, Lord. We pray now for Cal as he comes to preach, and Billy as he comes to teach, and we lift these things up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I talked to Billy several times every week, and we were talking yesterday, and he said, you know, I don't know exactly what God's doing right now, but he's moving, and he's doing something in and through Second Mile Church, and he is. Y'all been with me almost 4 years, and this is a response. Preaching is not it's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. So, but I just give God praise for that. And he just, I don't know what all he's going to do, but these are special days. And I want you to pray that I, myself, and the rest of us don't mess it up. Because we can mess things up. Amen? Now, I got an amen there. All right. I want you to, we're going to start off, Ellen, a little bit different place. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to look at a couple of verses there, and then we're going to dive into the message this morning. I want to talk to you today about, we're concluding this sermon series on prayer and fasting this morning. I want to talk to you about the power, really, and the priority of praying together. Praying together. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all been up and down this morning, but let's honor God's word in reverence and respect to the reading of his word. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is what? One, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." So, do you think he's trying to get a message across to us? "So also is Christ." And here it is. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Just bow your head with me. And I want you to think right now about the person on your left and the person on your right. You may not even know them. You may not even know what their name is. But I want you to pray that not only would you hear from heaven this morning, but that your brothers and sisters and friends would hear from God. So pray right now where you are. And just pray that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would have His way. That He would speak to all of us through the Word. Father, hear our prayer this morning. Like Samuel said, the young Samuel said so many years ago, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." In Jesus' powerful name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 now. But the older I get, my brothers and sisters, the longer I pastor, the more convinced I am is that God has joined us together. Together. Say that word with me. Together. I didn't hear y'all over here. Say this word with me. Together. Together. God has joined us together. We are the family of God. And we're one. And what we do together. We've been singing together this morning. Bless God, we've been drinking coffee together. Amen. We've been eating donuts together. We fellowship together. We love together. We do ministry together. We preach and we teach together. And for the last 2,000 years, we've been praying together. 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 And so I'm asking for God. Now, some of the stuff you're going to hear, I need to give John Franklin credit this morning. I read his book and the place was shaking way back in 2010. And it rocked my world. It changed my way of thinking about the prayer ministry in the church. Now, when you get to Acts chapter 6, they're blowing and growing, probably around 20,000 folks in the church there in Jerusalem now. And it's got a lot of widows and orphans. You know, guys, we didn't live very long back in the day. And we died early. Your wife's sitting there going like that. You paying attention? And so you had all these widows and orphans in the church. And who's responsible for taking care of their needs? The church was. And so a potential powder keg of a problem arose in the church. Some of the widows and orphans, the church was divided over what they believed and perceived that some of the widows and the orphans were being neglected. All of their, you know, the church was responsible for distributing food and material goods to these widows and orphans so that their needs could be met. And so, huge problem. And it is in the midst of this problem that threatened to split the church and stop the church in its tracks, we see the priority and the power of praying together. This is so good. So, I want us to look at Acts chapter 6 now. I want us to go there. And, you know, you may be asking the question, Cal, where did this idea come from about praying together? Because I know how we are. Some of us get really antsy when we're praying with somebody else. Hello? Oh, he's going to call on me to pray. What am I going to do then? So we need to hear this morning. Praying together. So look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. Where did we get this idea? Well, it's what the apostles taught and practiced. The apostles taught and practiced praying together. Look at verse 1 in chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, you hear that? There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, you see that word distribution? Do you see that word distribution? That's the Bible. The New Testament was written back in the day in the Greek language. And the root word, the family word that this word distribution comes from is the word diakonia. Our word for deacon. But the word literally means to serve and to minister. And so they're talking here about the ministry that's going on to meet the needs of the widows and orphans. Okay, y'all with me so far? And so let's look at verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and..." See that next word, serve? That's the same word that comes from, and this is the word diakonian, the verb. The other one that we just read was a noun, okay? Y'all try, I don't want to have an English class today, but y'all need to get this. This is where the light bulb will come on for you. And so, serving tables, that was one of the ministries of the apostles. Verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." What business? The ministry to the widows and orphans, okay? So, and by the way, the apostles used tremendous wisdom here. They asked the church to pray and to seek out who would best qualify in the church to meet the needs of a huge group of folks in the church whose needs weren't being met. Okay? And so that's by the way, those seven were to be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And by the way, those all make for good deacons. Amen? Come on, deacon brothers. All right. Now, but it's when I got to verse 4, and John helped me to see this in this book. It blew me away. Look at verse 4. But we, the apostles, are talking about themselves. Who are the apostles? They were the leaders of the church. Okay? They're the leadership of the church. Who are the leaders in the church today? Bishops, elders, pastors. The Bible uses that term interchangeably. Okay? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Now, most of my ministerial life up until 2010, I thought that this passage was referring to pastors and leaders of the church just simply getting together with God in prayer individually and praying for spiritual oversight and vision for the church and praying as He was preparing His messages to bring to the church. Okay? That's what I thought. All this time. And I get this. What would happen Sunday in and Sunday out if your pastor, whoever he is, didn't pray and prepare to preach? The flock wouldn't get fed. And if I ever quit doing that, send me out of town on a rail, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Now, here's where the nuances of the Greek language and the English language kind of don't jihad, don't mix. I want to just kind of free you all up. Now, let me read this literally in the Greek language, okay, in verse 4. It says, but we to the prayer and to the ministry of the Word steadfastly continue. That's how it reads. The prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, we're talking here in this passage of Scripture not about individual personal stuff. We're talking about ministries, plural. That's how the Greek language, the syntax and all that reads here. And so we're talking about ministries. And what the apostles were referring to is not their personal prayer life, but listen to this, to the ministry of mobilizing the people of God to pray together. That tells you what a great pastor I am. Hello? My job. And if you didn't get that, get this. The definite article, the, or the, however you pronounce that, is before that word prayer. It's not in the English, but it's in the Greek. The prayer. The ministry, the diakonia of the Word. Now, I think all of us would agree, would totally agree, that the preaching and teaching of God's Word is paramount today in the church, right? But guess what's to be of equal importance? Prayer. Praying together. Praying together. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know we're to pray together? Obviously we didn't. And so, out of all the things that I'm supposed to do as your pastor, out of all those things, my priority has to be preaching the Word of God and leading the prayer life of this church. I'm to be mobilizing people for the ministry of praying together. And that was huge for me when I saw that. So, you know, if that's the case, Cal, was the early, before we get to Acts chapter 6, were the apostles doing that? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. If you're there, say amen. Y'all, that's just two pages away. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication. And so you've got that upper room experience where the 120 disciples of the Lord are praying together. Praying together. They prayed for 10 days together. And then guess what? The Holy Ghost fell. All right, jump down to verse 24. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which of these two you have chosen." And so they're meeting together and they're praying together about who to replace Judas. All right? And then look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour. And so you got people going together to pray to the temple. Are y'all following this? Are y'all tracking with me? Look at chapter 4 and verse 31. Now, Peter and John had been arrested and thrown in prison, and they had been warned and they'd been punished. Don't you get out in our community and talk about this Jesus anymore. Well, guess what? The church got together to pray about that. And then look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There is power when we pray together. Tremendous power when we pray together. But we got to make that a priority. Have to. So where did the disciples get this? From Jesus. Say Jesus with me. There's something about that name, amen? And so Jesus taught and practiced this very stuff of praying together. There are 37 instances in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus was teaching on prayer. 37 references in your New Testament, in the Gospel accounts, where Jesus is teaching on prayer. How many, just take a wild guess, how many out of the 37 times that he's preaching and teaching about prayer do you think he's talking about corporate prayer, praying together? 33. Now we know Jesus believed in individual prayer, personal prayer, we know that. But he also believed and taught and practiced and modeled in people of God praying together. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Now, before I read this, in the Greek language, you've got different words for personal pronouns. You've got a different word for singular personal pronoun, and you've got a different word for plural personal pronouns. I'm sorry, I know this is boring, you know, but in English, guess what the singular and plural pronoun is? It's you. Now, bless God, if you're from down south, we got a personal pronoun that's, you know what it is? Y'all! So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read. Watch this now. Verse 25 of Mark chapter 11. And whenever y'all stand praying. It's in the plural. If y'all have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So we're talking here about, y'all, he's talking about when you get together to pray. Here's what you need to do before you get together to pray. And some of us need to say amen and do what that verse tells us to do. Now, jump on over to Matthew. I want you to see another instance of this, teaching on prayer. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 7. And again, you see people praying together. Plural pronoun, personal pronoun. Matthew 7, 7, ask and it will be given to y'all. Seek and y'all will find. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Knock and it will be open to y'all. praying together. Look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, I know I'm wearing you out with Scripture, but if I can wear you out with anything, that's what I need to do. Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say to y'all that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. And so there you have it. Jesus was telling his disciples in these instances of teaching on prayer that God has so designed prayer in such a way that we should pray together. We do everything else together. Why can't we pray together? Even when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he took some of his disciples into the Garden of into the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember what he said? Pray with me. Watch and pray with me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus modeled it for us. The apostles modeled it for us. What about the early church? What did they teach? What did they pray? Well, we've already looked at several verses before. Look back now with me at Acts chapter 6. Now, in the Old Testament, we're going to go back to Acts 6 and verse 6 in just a minute. But in the Old Testament, it's basically individual prayer because those folks are under the law. They're under the Old Covenant. And whenever God would answer prayer, oftentimes he'd send a prophet or a judge to somebody who wanted to pray. You remember Moses? Where'd Moses go to pray? Up on Mount Sinai. You remember Samson? His individual prayer? And there's others. Abraham? Personal prayer was big in the Old Testament. But you know, in those cases, if you wanted to get a word from God, you needed a prophet. And if you wanted somebody to represent you to God, you needed a priest. Thank God Jesus is both of those. Didn't Billy do great last Sunday talking about that? You didn't even know I was looking at this stuff, did you? So, in the Old Testament, other than revivals, great moves of God in the Old Testament, or temple practices, for the majority, the prayer in the Old Testament was personal, individual. Okay? But when you get to the New Testament, we sang about it this morning. When Jesus died, what happened in the temple? That temple veil was torn in two. And then when the Holy Spirit fell on all the believers, bless God, everybody, every believer, every child of God now has access to the very throne room of heaven. Whew. Look at this. And so we talked about how the 120 were praying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. We talked about how they were praying for wisdom in replacing Judas in Acts chapter 1 verse 24. We talked about how the church was praying together for boldness after Peter and John had reported about the threats from the Sanhedrin. And now look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 6. I tell you, the church did a fantastic job of praying together and choosing who needed to take care of these ministries. Look at verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So again, you see believers and leaders praying together. Now, maybe we'll cheat and let Ellen help us, because I don't know if we can move through these verses quickly enough. But in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter was in prison and Herod was about to take his head off. James had already been beheaded. He became the first martyr. And so because it was a high day, Herod had to wait a day. And so guess what the church is doing? Hello. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. So the church began to pray. And guess what? Peter got delivered. Whew, mercy. And then over there in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, while the prophets and teachers were praying and fasting, get this, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to go on the first mission trip. There it is. They were praying together. And then when you get to Acts chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul and some of his companions were going to corporate prayer. And all of a sudden, he had to stop and cast out a demon out of the slave girl. And so you see all these instances. And then when you get down to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, remember it says that Paul, I think Billy touched on this last week, Paul and Silas were in the jailhouse doing what? Singing and praying together. And then you had this Philippian jailbreak. There's power when God's people pray together. When two or three are gathered and they're in agreement, God's right there in the midst. If I was a lawyer, y'all'd be thinking I'm making a pretty good case today. The Word of God speaking to our hearts. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 36, Paul was praying with the Ephesians in his farewell address. The Ephesian elders praying together as he's saying goodbye. And then he's praying together again. All the disciples in Acts 21 and verse 5 together in the city of Tyre. You know, that's a terrible name for a city, isn't it? Let's go down to Tyre. Y'all will get used to me one of these days. But all through the book of Acts, what are people doing? They're praying. Not just praying. Hello? Don't you dare go there. Now, you mean to tell me we're not supposed to pray individually? Yes. Personal prayer is huge. You need a prayer closet. You need to pray. Get along with God. But I want to tell you, we need to pray together as well. It's kind of like two wings on an airplane. You got individual personal prayer over here, and then you got corporate prayer, people praying together over here. You need both of those wings. What happens if you lose one of those wings? Plane goes down. And that's what's going on with the church today. We're not praying together like we're supposed to. This is huge. Huge. All through the book of Acts, the early church was praying together. You know, I think about these great pianists, keyboard players. Here's one here. Here's another one over here. Y'all remember Mozart and Liberace and some of these more famous pianists? How did they play the piano? Like that? No, they didn't play with one finger. They played with all 10, because you need all 10 to create great music. Oh, are y'all getting that application today? When we all pray together, there's tremendous power in that. And I challenge you to read your Bible. Anytime there's a great move of God in the Scriptures and Bible history, you know what it's always preceded by? A group of people praying together. Amen. Every time. Sometimes it's a small group, sometimes it's a large group, but there's always people praying together. And then if you look, and I'm a student of revival, if you look at the great awakenings in our country, just in our country, all of those great awakenings, those tremendous sweeping revivals and movements of God, it's always preceded by people that have a heart to get together and cry out to God. Amen. That's always the case. Even in England, and our missionaries are telling us today that God is moving all around the globe. He's moving in China. Did y'all know that? There's an underground church of millions of folks in China. Iraq. Muslims are having a dream about the Lord Jesus and waking up, what's up with this? And then God will get a missionary to them. There's tremendous moves of God going on down in South America and in Central America. Great revival going on in just about every continent on the planet except North America, Australia, and Western Europe. Back in the 40s and 50s, I'm Southern Baptist. But back in the 40s and 50s, Southern Baptist churches had powerful midweek prayer services. And do you know what? We were baptizing as many folks in the 40s and 50s as we are now. And yet look at the population explosion. And we got twice the number of Southern Baptist churches today that we did back in the 40s and 50s. What's the issue? We're not praying together. Amen. We're not praying together like we can and like we should. I didn't come in here to whip us today. I came in here to share truth with you. We have got to find a way. And as your pastor, Mercy, I am failing at the ministry of mobilizing people to come together to pray. It's the hardest thing I've got to do. We've got to throw a barbecue and have birthday cakes and all kinds of stuff to get people to come to a prayer meeting. I'm telling y'all the gospel truth. Somehow, and I don't know how it's happened, we have elevated the preaching and teaching service. And it's important. Don't hear me say, I don't think that's huge. But somehow or other, we have neglected the prayer service. What would happen if that praying together issue, like the early church was doing, would happen? I've seen it happen in a church. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched it happen. I've experienced it. When a church starts praying together, it really frees God up to do what only He can do. And we have got to get there, brothers and sisters. That's what this bus trip's all about with pastors. Going up past Russellville, Kentucky. That's what that's all about. By the way, we've got, I think, Glenn, we're now up to 40 pastors that are signed up to get on that bus because pastors understand. We got to start praying together. We need both of those airplane wings to be of equal importance. And I want to tell you, our little community of Clarksville will come to Christ if we'll start praying together. Well, you're crazy, Pastor. Yeah, but I'm screwed to the right bolt. He's done it before and He'll do it again. Amen. And if we'll start praying together, we'll see our county come to Christ and our state. The only thing that's going to get this divided nation of ours together is God's people praying. It'll happen. And so here's what I want. I always run out of time on Sundays. I'm too long-winded, aren't I? Here's what I want us to do. This is my heart. I want to tell you, here's Tad Ketch, Exhibit A. He is the result, and he'll tell you this, of people praying together. He's got 10 more days till he gets this new kidney. But you know what he told me this morning? He said, even if something comes, you know, even if the if something happens and like it has the last three or four times, he said, I'm just going to give God praise because He knows what He's doing. But this brother will tell you the reason that he's about to get a new kidney is because God is good and God's people are praying. Here's another brother. 38 years ago, something like that, he called for some leaders of the church. This is Coach Gregory over here. He had some major cancer issues. And some leaders of the church came to his house. You remember that day, Barbara? You were there too? And we prayed over Coach. And that cancer's been gone for good. When people pray together, together. If you can't come to the Wednesday night prayer service, bless God. Get somebody to pray together with you at lunchtime at work. We used to have powerful prayer meetings in people's homes. Ask some of your best brothers and sisters to come to your house one night a week just to read Scripture and pray. You remember those cottage prayer meetings we had before the tent revival out at Kenwood? Some of y'all were there for that. You remember the Jesus rally we had? This room was packed out. You couldn't even get another seat in here. You remember that? Well, we were praying together. And so what I want us to commit to is making an effort, a concerted effort to pray together. Let's all stand. And I know this is a little bit different during the days that we're in, but come across the aisles. Just come across. Everybody, if you're, that's an aisle, that's an aisle, that's an aisle. Everybody just kind of come together. Together. That's right. This group just come this way. Y'all just keep moving this way. We want to come together. Now, there's something special that happens when God's people pray together. Some of y'all have a big need. There's something major going on. Well, it's a good thing I didn't ask us to get in a circle. I don't know what the issues are here with us. Some of you need healing. Some of you need for God to move on your family. Some of you have a wayward child or a grandchild that's breaking your heart. The answer to that is praying together. You got anybody in your family that's lost? Everybody in here does. The answer to that is praying together. And so I don't know what God wants to do during this time, but I want us to pray together. Now just drop your head, bow your head, humble yourself before God, and ask the Lord to give you the courage to start praying together with someone else, or a group of people, or actually get really radical and come to the Wednesday night praise and prayer service. Praying together. Just pray that way. Make that commitment this morning. Are you praying with your spouse? Some of us need to make that commitment. Are you praying with your family? Not just around the dinner table. Who are you praying together with? Just allow God right now to move in your heart and speak to you about this huge issue at Second Mile Church. Father God, I just give you praise today. There is no one like our great God. You are mighty to save. And you run like a father does to a child who's in trouble when we call on you. And God, we need you. We desperately need you during this hour. Father, I want to, as we pray together here, a lot of us are praying for other issues. Well, you're big enough to hear all the prayers and answer them all at once. God, would you make us a praying church? This is a working church, a serving church. This is a giving church. This is a teaching church. We teach and preach the Word of God here like nowhere else, really. But we need to become a praying church. Oh God, thank you for sharing that truth with us here today. Help us to learn to pray together. When those disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, they weren't just talking about personal prayer, they were talking about corporate prayer. Teach us, Lord, how important this is. And more than that, give us the courage and the faithfulness to do it. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not saved, you're not a believer, God didn't hear that prayer because He only hears the prayers of His people. It's what Isaiah says. It's what Psalm says. And right now, in the quietness and stillness of this moment, while God's moving, you need to pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. Because it's sin that separates us from Him. He's holy. He's righteous. And you can't whip this sin issue. That's why God sent His Son. And He became the perfect sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sin. And right now, right there where you're standing, if you'll just surrender to Christ, just say, Lord, I'm yours. I need your forgiveness. Save me today. Call on Him right now where you're standing. Just call on Him to save you. Right now, just do that. You don't have to do it out loud. Do it in your heart. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first and only time, you really do need to pray that way. I believe if you believe what you've just said to God and you've turned to Christ, God is now, the Holy Spirit of Jesus is now in your life. You've got Him. And you've begun a brand new life. And so if you prayed that way, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just look up at me. If you prayed that way this morning, just look up right here at me. I see you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Look up right here at me. You prayed that way this morning. God bless you. God bless you. I didn't know if I was saved or not, but I know now I'm saved. Those of you that are looking at me, everybody else got your head bowed. I'm just talking to those that prayed to receive Christ this morning. Do you love God? Y'all love Him? Just nod your head if you love Him. You know He loves you, and He is not ashamed of you. And you can't be ashamed of Him either. And He's calling you to step out for His honor and His glory and your good. And some of y'all, we're going to sing a hymn of response. And if you prayed to receive Christ today, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You need to do that. Come talk to me about it. We'll get that done. There'll be deacons here that can pray with you, counsel you if you need to. But listen, God's doing a work here this morning, and you come and share with me what you've done. All right? Father, bless this time of response. Use it for your glory and honor. If there's others, Father, that need to just come to an old-fashioned prayer altar and pray together, then you do that too. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.